So on a house for R1 million, an agent would get 75,000 rand. But that amount, it comes to the company, and then whatever agreement the individual agent has with the company would then split that amount.
Hey guys, welcome to the Unpack podcast, where we chat about all things property and finance related. If you don't have your ticket yet, I just want to remind you that I'm speaking at the Creators Summit 2021. This is a 5-day virtual conference with over 60 speakers from different industries. So these amazing women of color will be chatting more about starting your business, self-development, podcasting, film, everything related to content, marketing, and branding. So if you want to join us, network, and elevate your skills, find out more about the conference on my website, laratobi.com/creatorsummit2021. I'll add the link in the description box. So back to this week's episode, where I spoke to an amazing young business owner who runs an estate agency alongside his partner. And both under 25, they have more than 10 employees and have been operating for over 3 years.
Hi, Lerato. My name is Thembisa Winston Kunene. So I'm the group executive of Libertalia Group. So we are a finance and real estate company, basically doing intermediary and facilitation services within those two sectors. So at the moment, we've got about 13 agents working for us, real estate agents, selling properties, leasing properties. And we also have partnerships with Uber, where we facilitate a bond, home loan, bond origination.
Can you tell us more about how you started your company and how has the journey been so far?
I started this company 3 years ago. But I started in the real estate industry about 5 years ago. Started all the way from the bottom as a PA for an intern agent. Did a few sales with her, and then I was promoted to become an estate agent myself. I was working for a very reputable company, Pam Golding Properties. Got all the necessary training, and after a year working with them, I moved on, and I had a small partnership with the lady who was running her own small agency, which allowed me to then go on and register my own real estate company by myself. And yeah, I started by myself, and then I found myself a very good partner, my business partner, who helped me run it from the second year all the way to today. So the journey's been very interesting. I've learned so much. I've learned about investing, budgeting. I've learned about leadership, business management, and a lot of things that I apply to my life. I've learned from being in this industry, being in the finance and real estate industry. It's been quite a great roller coaster, but worth the risk that I took.
Wow, I love that. Okay. So I want to know more about your company culture. So how do you find talent and how do you develop your talent? Just like you said, you mentioned that you were an intern and you've transitioned now into a business owner. So what are you doing for your team to help them as well to grow in this industry? And I also want to know more about how do you find talent? Because you just mentioned that you have over 10 employees in the past 3 years. So can you share more about that?
My business partner and I have formulated, so we do training every Tuesday and Thursday. So how we go about it is we first approach every individual, have a sit down, have a coffee with them or on a phone call, just to find out exactly how they are, how they're doing, and what sort of skills that they are lacking. We've got an accountability chart where they record all their activities. And we also get to see exactly what they're doing, and because you can't improve what you don't know. So that helps us a lot in terms of focusing on what it is exactly that they need at that point. So yes, we've got an every Tuesday and every Thursday meeting. And we just show them stuff. We talk about scenarios that happen in the market, and we hear what other people have done, what's been successful for them and what's been failures for them. And we sort of have that team, that team environment where we all just work together, and obviously through our leadership. But in terms of finding skills in terms of recruiting, we've got a whole recruitment system. We've got a whole recruitment process where we get their CVs in place, and then we just vet them, check them out, and sort of see what qualities they have. Because really, when it comes to the real estate industry, you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be specialized in something else. In fact, anyone from someone coming out of matric can join the real estate industry. It's just all about the willingness and, you know, the kind of personality that you are. You're an extrovert or an introvert, you know, you cater all those things in place. And that's how we're able to use our instinct and just conversing with the people we recruit and our potential agents. Yeah.
That's interesting. So I was going to ask you, what qualification do you need to become a realtor? And you just said you don't need a qualification. So can you share like some other skills that are important for somebody who's thinking of becoming a real estate agent?
Okay. So I'd call this you need to be driven. That's a skill. You need to be driven, because that's whatever drives you into chasing your goals and achieving your goals is exactly what you need in the industry, especially when you come through difficulties. You need to have, and then you've got the actual skills, like you need to be tech savvy, not necessarily an IT specialist, but rather knowing how to use a mobile device, knowing how to use a computer, because some of the applications, some of the processes are done through that. So you need to be online savvy. And also for marketing purposes, you need to know how to use social media. So knowing how to lead generate, how to, but those are the things that we would also train, you know, some of the agents who have used social media before, but have not necessarily jumped into that specific, you know, sector. But yeah, and you need to, obviously you need a license. You need a license and you need a car, because most of your viewings happen even in the evenings, during the day, but they're not fixed. You know, you sort of create your own schedule. So if you have a car, you're able to drive anywhere, as far as wherever. So you need a car. But yeah, those are the basic, those are the resources, some of the resources and skills that you would need. But rather when it comes to real estate, you get trained on the specific skills that you need. So as a successful real estate agent, what we would recommend as well, I would say, you know, you need to have communication skills. So your communication needs to be very, very much on point, because you have to give feedback. You have to communicate on progress. You have to give progress reports. So that does come with a lot of communication. And you need to, those are just some of the skills that you would need.
It sounds like a really cool job, though, if we had to be honest, because I wouldn't mind viewing different properties. Okay, maybe because I generally just love property, but it sounds really fun, viewing different properties, meeting people. So yeah, you need great communication skills, you need marketing skills. It sounds really cool. It sounds like an ideal job for somebody like me who likes people and moving around. But my main question right now is, let's talk about money, because that is my favorite topic. And I want to know more about, how do you guys actually make money? So is this a sustainable career? Like, if I had a kid and my kid said, I want to be an estate agent. So is this, should I be worried that my kid is going to need a loan every now and then? Like, how does it work? How do you guys make money? Is the income coming in every single month, or is it commission based? Can you explain more about that? Because I just want to understand how it works in South Africa.
Let's take a house, for example. Let's say there's a house for sale. It's selling for R1 million. We would charge a market-related value, so a market-related fee, which is 7.5% plus VAT. So how agents then make money is, obviously, after deducting tax and whatnot, then you would get your commission. So on a house for R1 million, an agent would get 75,000 rand. But that amount comes to the company. And then whatever agreement the agent has, the individual agent has with the company, would then split that amount, whether it's a 50-50 split, whether it's a 60-40 split, or an 80-20 split. So it does come in levels as well. If you're an intern estate agent, it is usually a 50-50 split. So you would share the 75,000 rand with the agency, which would give you about 35,500 as an intern. So that's how we make money when it comes to the sales part. And obviously you improve from there. You get agents that sell 3 houses a month. You get agents that sell 4 houses a month, for that matter. So you can imagine how much commission you're making. If let's say you sell 4 houses that are worth 1 million rand each, and your commission on there as an intern is 37,500. That's about 150,000 rand a month. So there's quite a lot of potential in that's how we make money when it comes to the sales department. And then when it comes to the rental department, which is completely different to the sales part of it. So if you have a landlord who wants to lease out their property, they'll obviously hire an estate agent, and the rental agent will list that property. And once they find a tenant, after vetting them and doing all the necessary checks, then we would take of that rental amount every month income. So if a tenant, so speaking of the numbers, if a tenant is paying 10,000 rand a month, and you as an agent take 10% of that, you'd be getting 1,000 rand a month while that lease agreement is still valid. That's how we make money. And obviously you build, as much as it's small, but you build up from there. Getting a tenant for a rental is quite easy compared to getting a property sold, getting 1 million rand property sold. You know, it's quite easy because you can build off from that 1,000 rand. You can get 10 other rental properties, and that could be your 10,000 rand passive income. And you just build on from there.
Wow. Okay. I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot from this conversation. I have a million questions now. So who determines the percentage that the real estate company can take from the estate agent? Also, what's stopping an estate agent from venturing out on their own? So why do estate agents join companies instead of just doing their own thing and not having to share a percentage? What are the benefits of being part of an estate agency group or company instead of being independent?
The pro of being part of a company is you get resources provided, and you know, it's quite expensive. If you don't have enough capital to pay for these certain resources, then you won't be able to run your business. Because looking at the con to side of it, if you sell a house and it registers in 3 months, that's the only time you get paid. So during the 3 months, you need to pay for resources, which you use on a monthly basis. When I talk about resources, I'm talking about being registered on Property 24 as an estate agent. That's a fee. Being registered on private property, being registered on Lightstone, which is a tool we use to get contact details for owners. And you also get billed for getting contact numbers. So those are a lot of other resources. And then you obviously have printing resources. If you need to print out your legal agreements, your offer to purchases, your lease agreements, you have other costs such as registration for the EAB. So which is another limit for anyone that wants to start their own thing. You need to be registered under the EAAB, which is the Estate Agency Affairs Board. If you don't have an FFC, an FFC, by the way, is a Fidelity Fund Certificate. If you don't have that license, you are not permitted to sell properties. And that's one of the biggest limitations for someone to start from scratch. And hence, I started as an intern. I had to get that license. Because only a real estate registered company can issue you that license. But even then, there are other qualifications that you would need to completely go out and start your own thing, because you would have to spend 12 months doing your logbook. So your logbook, it's basically a portfolio of evidence where you need to submit all your evidence of getting the experience in selling properties. And once you have that, you'd still have to get qualified to become an NQF5 principal, which allows you then to now start running a business on your own, doing your own taxes, doing your own requirements or any compliance required. That's basically the whole idea. And that process takes about 3 to 5 years. Then that is for someone that is driven to start their own thing. But, you know, you go to the big agencies out there. You go to a Remax, you go to a Pam Golding, you go to a Seif, or Keller Williams, and you'll find that there are agents that are still interns, but they've had 16 years of experience because they don't want to go out there and really take care of the legal side of things, the tax side of things. They just want to sell properties and make a living or from selling and using the company that gives them the resources that they need.
That's interesting because I didn't really know a lot about like those certifications. And also I recently just dealt with a real estate agent and I didn't even ask her about her certifications and any information actually. In fact, I didn't even hire her. So when I just bought a property and the person I was buying from hired the estate agent. So, and I literally only ever saw her once. So the day we went to view the, actually twice. So I viewed the property twice. And after I signed my offer to purchase, I never saw her or spoke to her again. So after that, I started speaking to the attorneys, the transferring attorneys. But yeah, so what do you guys do on a day-to-day basis? Because it's quite interesting. I like asking people that question so I can understand like the behind the scenes. So what do real estate agents do every day, like on a day-to-day basis? Do you have some kind of schedule or specific things that you do every day?
If you're a buyer and you've obviously signed the offer to purchase, we now have to go to the sellers to get an acceptance for the offer. And once that is accepted, we give the buyers three days to go and get a bond approval. Well, 3 to 5 working days to get a bond approval. That is if they're not buying the property cash and they are going to acquire a bond on it. And then we're at the office. It's more of admin rather than it's more of admin where we contact the bond originator and we ask them to find us the best possible rate for this client that we have interest rate so that they're able to proceed with the suspensive condition of this offer to purchase for this particular property. So we submit those documents through, and then part of admin also involves us communicating with the conveyancers, so for the transfer and bond returns. Giving them the same information that they require from our clients. So it's doing a lot of admin in the office or working from home, you know, communicating with attorneys, communicating with the buyers, sellers, you know, communicating with everyone, just keeping everyone in the loop. And if there's any missing information that you need, you would have to arrange for that. And then what we also do is depending on the, let's say a suspensive condition of an offer to purchase has been met and you have about a few weeks in the deal, you have to get a COC done for the seller. Sometimes sellers would request, because you are their intermediary, they would request you to sort of handle the COC, a certificate of compliance. That's for the electric compliance certificate. So you would have to now find an electrician, go to the property, get the electrician to do his work, get the property approved in terms of the COC. And then you would have to go back to the office and do a bit of admin as well. There's a lot of admin involved after an offer to purchase has been signed, and as well as communication, making sure that things are going smoothly. If there's a specific thing that you need to get either from municipality on behalf of the seller or any specific requirement, then you would obviously go there. But and then the rest of the work obviously goes to the attorneys, because they have to legally, they do the transfer of the property. So they have to sort of do the work on their side. But while you're obviously waiting for that process, you go and you get more stock. It goes back to you viewing other properties. Yes, you've got an offer to purchase, but it's only going to register in 3 months. So you just go to the deal and you look for other properties. You canvas for stock. I wish you asked me, what do we do before the offer to purchase? Because that's where the interesting work comes in.
Yeah, please do share. So what do you do before like the offer to purchase? Because I didn't know that either.
Just finding a property. There are three ways to find to sell a property. One of them is driving around the area that you live in, and if you see for sale signs, then you know obviously that house is for sale, and it's a matter of calling the owner to find out if that property is a sole mandate or it's an open mandate. Sole mandate basically means that only one agency can sell the property. And an open mandate means that as many agents as possible can sell that property. So you find that information out. And if the seller says, yes, it's an open mandate, then you obviously go through, you set up an appointment, you go and you view the house, and you review beautiful houses out there, especially in South Africa. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful homes out there. So you go through the property, you take pictures of the outside and the inside area, and you just sort of inform your sellers as to how you're going to go about selling their property, sharing your marketing presentations. And then from there on, you go back to the office and you do a bit of admin as well, where you load the property up to Property 24, private property, which is where you get your lead generation. And which is for me, the interesting part is if you're selling your properties online, you know, you have your own social media account, whether it's an Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn account. You register an account there and you describe yourself as an estate agent. You expose yourself in the area. You boost your ads. You go into groups and you sell the properties. You post properties that you're selling. And obviously with that way, you'll be exposed in the market. People will get to know you. And the more you're present, the more you're likely to get properties, owners coming to you, asking you to sell them properties. So that's quite the interesting part. And it's almost like a networking platform when it comes to the inquiries, because let's say in a day, you'll get 7 inquiries to view one specific property. So you know you're going to meet 7 people on that day, which is quite fascinating and interesting, because you get to build relationships off from that. Not only do they just need to buy the property, what if they don't buy the property? Yes, but you've also built a relationship from meeting that person or trying to find them other properties that they're interested in. So there's a lot of opportunities in this industry, and that's the fun side of it. To mention the last part, actually, sometimes sellers, not every seller, but sometimes sellers would invite you to their property in the evening because they come back from work. That's usually the case. They come back after 5 from work, you know, skipping traffic and everything. You just build off relationships from that end. You call it work or you call it passion, but it's at the end of the day, you have fun while you're selling properties.
So have you ever had a month where you guys did not have a sale? And how do you handle like the finances if something like that happens?
So that's the situation that I found myself in, which I had to learn the hard way. And I'm glad it happened. It's a blessing, as much as it was, and at that time it wasn't the best situation. I'm glad it happened because it gave me that skill and experience to prevent my agents that come in from making the same mistake. But it's really not, it's not the easiest thing to do. It's not the easiest result when you haven't sold a house and you know that you've got bills to pay. But what I have learned from that, obviously at that time, and I don't mind sharing my struggles. At that time, I had to make a plan. I had to either borrow money or I had to, you know, find a place to stay at a friend's house. So those situations, you don't want to get yourself in those situations when you start. What I learned then is budgeting. You need to budget for the next 3 months. You need, before you join the industry, you need to know that you'll be able to cover your costs for the next 3 months, because then you know that within that 3 months, you're either going to get a rental or you're going to get a sale. And if you're getting adequate training from, whether it's from our agency or from any other agency out there, and you take that training seriously, you're most likely to make a sale in your first month of working. And reference to this is goes back to my business partner, who I give credit to the success of the business that we've built so far as well. You know, when he joined real estate, I was shadowing him. I was his mentor, and he made his first sale in 2 weeks of joining real estate. You can imagine your first sale in 2 weeks, which was not just any house. It was a house. It was a house for 1,500,000 rand. So the commission was quite good on that, because he had someone who's had that experience, who's gone through the failures, show him the ropes. And that's what you need to look for before you enter the industry. You need to find either you find someone that will show you the ropes, or you find a company that will give you all that support. Because it's not easy when you haven't made a sale and you don't know how to sell and you're still trying to figure it out and you still have bills to pay. So yes.
I'm so glad you mentioned saving and the importance of planning for your future, because I know as a small business owner, and even for freelancers, cash flow issues are common. And yeah, most people are like struggling to find clients or waiting on late payments. And yeah, I always say it's very important to save up at least 6 months. So I always make sure that I'm okay personally, like in terms of like personal bills, I always make sure that everything is at least 12 months. So I always make sure that personal stuff, 12 months, it's all saved up. And then business expenses, I'm working on the 12 months thing. But yes, 3 months is a good goal and 6 months is even like better. So yeah, just make sure that you save, because saving is so important. I can't emphasize how important it is for you to save. Even if you're not a business owner, just as a person, you should be saving. Even if you don't have a lot and you can only save like 100 a month, there are so many different ways for you to save and different accounts. You just need to do your research and find a good savings account where you can like just put a little money in for emergencies, because you never know what's going to happen. Like now when COVID hit last year, a lot of people lost their jobs, a lot of companies were affected, and yeah, we're just going to be dealing with a lot of that for the next couple of years or even decades, because a lot of people were affected by COVID, a lot of jobs were lost, a lot of lives have changed. And people, I always speak to people who are saying that they realized, okay, I should have started saving, because yeah, COVID just made people realize a lot of things. But yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned saving, because that's one of my other favorite topics. But speaking of finding clients, I want to know, how do you guys find clients? So you mentioned that you put up your properties on different property portals, like Property 24 and Private Property. And you also use social media. So can you share some strategies that your business uses to find clients and some trends you've seen along the way? And yeah, what have you learned about marketing a real estate business in South Africa?
My first ever listing, I was lucky enough because I was a PA. So the agent already had experience. So when they had an inquiry from a client, because they were already exposed in the market. So they had an inquiry in the markets for someone to come and do a viewing to see the house and to list it. So I was sort of shadowing her as a PA. And that's how I got my first client. I guess it was her initiative at the end of the day. But what I would say though is, for someone new out there who doesn't go through the personal assistance way, who just comes in as someone who's never done this before, I would suggest that finding your first clients as the easiest approach would be to just look for a for sale board in your area, and you call that person and you ask if they are interested in using your services. So that's the easiest way to go about it. How our business finds clients is quite, so we've got a website as well, a very beautiful website, which we use as a marketing tool when it comes to social media marketing. So what my business partner, he's very good. He's such a creative, he's a systems person. So he comes up with this systems way. We'll post like tips on maybe what to do when you want to sell your property, or he'll post like articles that inspire people to read them. And obviously towards the bottom of the page or on the side of the page, you've got our details where a lot of our clicks come in from from those certain articles or posts that we post on social media. And that's how we get our clients. It's a strategy in a way, but there are various ways besides going around looking for sale boards and calling those owners, or using your social media ads or your website traffic generation. You could network. You could host a braai, or you could go the foundation route where you go to a school and you donate a few stationery to those that need or in need of stationery, and you hand out your business cards, and the kids obviously would take it home, and then they would share those business cards and whatever they got from school to their parents. And that sort of is another way of lead generation. It's an old school way of lead generation, but when it comes to, which still works, don't get me wrong, it still works. But when it comes to our company, especially, we're very modern. We go the online route. We get all our lead generation online. So yes.
Thembisa, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I am so proud and really fortunate to meet you, because there aren't that many young people who are in business, and you just shared so many gems, and I'm really glad that we met. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, if somebody has a property that they want to sell, or if somebody wants to buy a property and they want to check out your website, how can they find you guys?
If you search Libertalia, Libertalia, you search Libertalia Group or Libertalia Real Estate, you'll find us on every platform. You can find us on Twitter, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, our website. You can find us everywhere. And that's how people can reach out. But if you specifically want to get our email address and phone number, you can just you can send us an email on contact@libertalia.co.za, and we'll reach out and we'll give you guys a response.
Love this episode? Make sure to visit our website www.unpack.co.za. To join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply told a friend about us, that would be helpful too. Thank you for listening.